I love that song. You know, that is a song that I believe we actually did at Easter. It's a great song that talks about the reality of the resurrection. And so the good news for us as Christians is that every day is Easter for us because we acknowledge and celebrate and give thanks to God for the Easter event, for the resurrection. And so I love it that we sing songs like that that just remind us of how great and how good our God is. St. Augustine was one of the most important figures in the development of Western Christianity, and actually one of the great theologians of the early church, kind of around the 4th and 5th century AD. His quotes are famous. He is read by pretty much anybody studying theology, and he has such profound things to say to us as what does it mean to have a faith in Christ. And he wrote this. He wrote, "To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek him, the greatest adventure. To find him, the greatest achievement." Now, Augustine was converted to Christianity when he was about 33 years old. And he discovered in his journey, he discovered what a life with God is really all about. He discovered that a life with God was not only better, but absolutely essential. That a life with God was not just about a life that we experience on the other side of eternity, but a life with God is what we experience on this side of eternity as well. Jesus said that he came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. And so there's something about this relationship with God that is so essential on this side of eternity to having an abundant, full life. Augustine also wrote this. He said, "Thou hast created us for thyself, and our heart is not quiet until it rests in thee." So let me unpack that for a minute. What he says there is that we do not find satisfaction. We do not find completion. We do not find this adventure, this abundance, apart from this relationship with Christ. And he goes so far to say is that we are restless until we find that. Now, what we know about our culture, about our world for centuries, since the fall, actually, is that we seek to fill our hearts with so many other things, thinking that those things are what will give us that completion, that other things will kind of fix that restlessness that we have in our heart. When truth be told, we will always be restless. Let me say that again. We will always be restless. There will be something in our life that is incomplete until that thing, that place, that position in our heart is filled with life with God, a relationship with God. And so last week, I began just a kind of a two-part series that I just simply called Life with God. And this really kind of flowed out of, I took several weeks that we've had testimonies from other folks, and kind of just, I took some time in June where just kind of some downtime for me that I could spend kind of just renewing my soul and doing a lot of reading and spending a lot of time with my family and just having some great quiet time. And which just reminded, God just reminded me how essential it is for us to find life with God. And in our world that is so busy, so crazy, so hectic, we live by deadlines and timetables and calendars. Most of us actually even carry our phone in our hand today. Have you noticed that? Like, you see people walking down the mall or wherever, they're carrying their phone. It's not in their pockets, it's not in their purses, but they carry it around. When you go to a restaurant, what do you see? People are there with their phones. They're not even having conversation with one another. They're just on their phones, always connected. And I think what God wants is he wants that kind of a connection with us, that we are always connected to him, that we are always having this relationship with him. And so last week, I began this message in Life with God by looking at the fact that Jesus asked a lot of questions. Now, if you weren't here last week, I'm going to give you just kind of a really quick review because I think it serves well as a good springboard into what we're going to talk about today. Because what we're going to talk about today is connecting with this God who wants to have a relationship with us. But we need to understand the depths and what God goes to have this relationship with us. And so last week I shared with you that Jesus asked a lot of questions. Why are you afraid? What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? Do you love me? Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Who do you say that I am? Over and over and over again, we see Jesus asking lots and lots of questions. As a matter of fact, he tended to ask more questions than he did answer questions. And I think it's really significant to ask ourselves, why in the world did Jesus ask so many questions? And I think it was simply this that I shared with you last week. It's because he wanted his audience to think. He wants us to think. Our faith is not this blind leap into the unknown, but we have reasons to believe what we believe. We have history. We have experiences. We have a God who has revealed himself in time and space. And so we are to be people who are thinking about our faith. So we're not just supposed to be thinking about our faith, but it also has the realization that what we think always precedes our feelings and our actions. It always precedes our feelings and our actions. What we think about something, what am I going to say? We think about something, what am I going to do about it? We think about something, how am I going to react to it? Our actions and our feelings are always started by what we think. So we've got to be people who are always thinking, who are always reflecting. And Jesus asked a really significant question. In John 1:38, he just says, what do you want? He noticed these guys following him. He just turns around and he's like, what do you want? Well, I think that's a question that he asks us as well. What do you want? In this relationship with God, what do you want? Really? What is it that you want? And again, I ask why. Why is it that Jesus asked this particular question? And I think what we see from many places, Proverbs for one of them, is that he asks that because we are what we want. We are what we want. What we want really directs the actions of our lives. What we want really directs the kind of integrity we have, the kind of character we have, the kind of who we are when no one's looking. What we are is a reflection of what we want. And here's what we understand through Scripture, is that deep down, we were created for and find fulfillment with God. Deep down, we were created for and find fulfillment with God. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. It determines the course of your life. Because in that time period, they believed that the heart was like the seat of the soul. And that was where the desires and that's where the feelings were believed to really emanate from. And we got to guard that heart. Because if we give our heart to something that we shouldn't give our heart to, it's going to move us in one direction. If we let our heart lean in one direction, it's going to guide us in a direction that might not be towards God. And so we've got to always be guarding our heart. So deep down, we were created for and find fulfillment with God. So if we have this restlessness, if we have this place that we're really seeking to fill with God, that affects how we approach God, how we come to God, how we experience God. And as I shared with you last week, I think there's kind of four big ways that we really approach God. Kind of the what is our experience, or what has our history taught us, or how is it that we have been taught, or what is it we understand about how we approach God? And I think it kind of falls into four big categories. I think one of the ways that we approach God is that we look at life from God. In other words, we say, what can God give us? is Pete Wilson. He's a pastor down in Nashville at this amazing church, says that he calls this, he says that people who live in this kind of a place of what can we get from God are, for all intents and purposes, Christian atheists. Because what the problem with this one is that we look at God to see what he can give us, and we see God as this kind of cosmic vending machine. That if I need something, I'm just going to push the buttons and God's going to give me what I want. That we don't really spend time in this relationship with God, but we see God as what can God give me? And so we lead our lives just going right along until we need something from God, and then we're like, oh, and we shoot up a prayer and say, hey, God, can I give you this? Can you give me this? What can you give me for this, God? That's a very one-sided relationship, isn't it? We also see that we could approach God in what we'd refer to as a life over God. Now, this is kind of an interesting perspective because what we believe with this one is that we have God all figured out. And we kind of take the mystery of God out. We take the surprise of God out. And so we would find ourselves using phrases like, well, God always does this, or God never does this. So we feel like we just got it all figured out. Well, the problem with this one is that we think that God is controllable. We think that we can just kind of know exactly what God wants, and God's going to give us exactly what we want. And so we just have this relationship with God that we're like, hey, God, I know what I need, so this is who I'm going to live, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is how, I'm going to pray to you, God, and this is what I'm asked for. And I just know that you're going to give me this because I know what you think about this situation, and I know what you want to do for me. Again, the problem with that is that it's a very one-sided relationship, and it's just really about more what we want. Another way that we approach God, as we talked about last week, was this life under God. Truth be told, probably a lot of us really are tempted to fall into this category. Because this category, this life under God is, man, it is all about the rules and the regulations. It's all about the do's and the don'ts. Now, don't get me wrong, those are not bad things. There are things that we should do and there are things that we shouldn't do. This life with God is living in this life of obedience. But when we approach God this way, we feel like all we got to do is just keep all the rules. And if we can just keep all the rules, then we'll have this great relationship with God. Well, the problem that we have is Jesus says you just really can't keep all those rules because nobody is that good. Paul goes so far in Romans to say there's no one good, not even one. So no matter how much we try, we're just not going to be able to keep all the rules. Well, the problem with this one is that this life under God is that we think God is winnable. If I can just do everything that God wants me to do, then he's going to bless me in this area of my life. Or if I can do all these things, maybe some of these other areas that I'm not really in a great relationship with God, it's okay because I'm still going to win his affection because I'm keeping all these other things. So we begin to pick and choose the things that we do and that we live under. Again, what's the problem with this one is we see God as winnable, and we don't win God's affection. God just loves us because he loves us. So many of us, we come to God with very different perspectives and experiences. Some of us look for life from God, look for life over God, look for life under God. But the best option, the absolute best option when we approach God is to approach God with this life with God. A life with God. It's our best option. As I shared with you last week, I believe it is our number one job in our spiritual life, and it's connecting with God. We see it in places like John 15, verses 4 and 5, that in essence, Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. You can see it all up here. He says at the end, from apart from me, you can do nothing. So what God desires from every single one of us is to have this relationship with us. He meets us where we are. He wants to have a relationship with us. It is the best option that when we spend our time and energy and efforts developing and cultivating this relationship with God, then that is the best option for us because it helps us to live in this amazing relationship with him. And so in preparation for this message, I got a question for you. I've actually got a little scale that's going to appear up on the screen. I want to ask you to answer this question. When we think about connecting with God, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your connection with God? Like, really? I want you to really look at that question. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate your relationship with God? Is it somewhere around a 1? Are you feeling kind of distant? Or would you say, man, my relationship with God is a 10. It is amazing. I am connected to God. God is connected to me. We are walking hand in hand. We are in sync, and life is so good right now. Or maybe you're just kind of somewhere in the middle. Now, I want you to keep this in mind as we work through today's message, because we're going to come back to this at the end, and I'm going to change the question up just a little bit. But where are you in your relationship with God? Now, in preparation for this message today, and thinking about this connection with God, I have to share with you, I actually changed the whole message around on Thursday afternoon. I was like, I felt like I had it all going well this week, and I came up with this, what I thought was a really good message, and the more I prayed about it, the more I thought about it, I felt like God was saying, no, that's not what I want you to share. Because I thought of some, like, the really basic things. You know, like, how do we cultivate a relationship with God? I've shared messages like that. You've heard things like that. By being in worship, by being in prayer, by being in study, by being in community, by studying together, by serving, by giving. And those are all really great things. And they do connect us with God. But I felt like I needed to kind of take this in a different direction. And this flows out of my own personal experience. Because one of the things I discovered about myself is that God has wired each of us differently. And so we all cultivate a relationship with God in different ways. So what do I mean by that? First of all, we got to acknowledge the simple truth. There is one way to God, and it's through Jesus. It is one of the essentials. It is one of the core doctrines of our faith. That there's one way to God, and it's through Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So there's one way that we come to God, and it's through Christ. But the truth is, as well, is that there are many ways to connect with God. There are many ways to connect with God. Because, see, God has wired each of us as unique, unrepeatable miracles. There are no two of us alike. Most of us would say, that's great, right? But there's no two of us alike. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece. You know what a masterpiece is, right? It's a one-of-a-kind, unrepeatable. You can do things that look like it, but there's one masterpiece, right? There's one time that you created it. And even if you try to create something like it, it's never exactly the same. And so we were each created uniquely. We are each a masterpiece of God. Now, here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to get through this message today. Is that our connection with God is directly related to the choices that we make and the time we invest in that relationship. Our connection with God, how connected we are with God, how close we are with God, where we see God in our lives, is directly connected to the choices we make and the time we invest in that relationship. Now, is that any different than any other relationship in your life? It's the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. And so this morning, for the time that we have left, I want to talk about what does it mean for us to connect with God. In fancy church language, we refer to that as spiritual formation. How are we formed spiritually in this relationship with God? How do we cultivate this relationship that we have with God? One of my professors in seminary, Dr. Robert Mulholland, just this amazing, amazing man. He wrote this book called Invitation to a Journey, talking about spiritual formation. In that book, he has this quote. He says that spiritual formation is a process of being conformed to the image of Christ for the sake of others. Now, we could spend weeks talking about that because there's so much in there. That spiritual formation is a process. That's good, right? Because it means that we don't all achieve it instantaneously, but it's a process. It's a journey, of being conformed, so of being shaped, of being transformed, of being renewed to the image of Christ. He's our standard. That's why we don't compare ourselves to anybody else. Even some of the people in our life that we look and go, oh my gosh, she is so spiritual, or he is so spiritual. But having Christ, and Christ alone is our example, for the sake of others, recognizing the fact that this journey, this spiritual formation, is not just about us, but it's about the world. Well, there are two things that I want to point out to you about the spiritual formation as we get into connecting with God. The first is that being spiritually formed is intentional and it's continual. It is intentional and it's continual. That means that if we want to grow in our relationship with God, we have to take the steps that it takes to grow in that relationship with God. We don't just gain our whole knowledge of God simply by osmosis. Oh, got it. It just doesn't happen. But we've got to make the choices. We got to determine our priorities. We got to do these things that are going to cultivate this relationship with God. Again, is that any different than any other relationship that we have in our life? We've got to cultivate this relationship with God because it's intentional and it's continual. God is never going to force himself on us. And we also never stop growing. I mean, I've shared this so many times. Discipleship program we have here called Disciple Bible Study. This last year, I've been impressed every year with our groups. But this year was really very special to me because one of the ladies in our group is like 86 years old. She recognizes the fact that she always is growing in her relationship with God. That's a great model for us, isn't it? You never reach that point where you're like, got it. If you reach that point, then close your eyes and get into eternity. Because we're always going to grow. So I want to just take the time that we have left this morning to highlight what I think are three ways that we connect to God and how we do that in this unique kind of way, recognizing the fact that we are all God's masterpiece, that we are all unique, one of a kind, unrepeatable miracles of God, designed and created to have a relationship with him on this side of eternity and next. And so, connecting with God, I think first and foremost, is shaped by our personality. How we connect with God is shaped by our personality. Its personality is defined as the characteristic patterns of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors that make each of us unique. When I was in seminary, there were times where I just felt like so inept. Because I would look at people who I thought they had it all together. And I thought in order for me to have a relationship with God, I needed to be more like them. There were people that I knew that, man, they could spend hours by themselves in just contemplation and quietness. And for me, that was like the furthest thing that drew me closer to God. There were people that they could spend time by themselves, and that was so good. If I have to spend time by myself too long, I'm like antsy. And I'm going, okay, gotta get moving. And so I talked to one of my professors and I said, Dr. Johnson, I feel like I am so behind everybody else because contemplation for me, solitude for me, quietness for me, like those just don't move me in my relationship with God. And he said, George, that's okay because God didn't wire you that way. And he had me take a Myers-Briggs. How many of you have taken Myers-Briggs? Is one of the most amazing tools that actually can be used for spiritual formation to help us know how God has wired us. Because here's what we discover from personality tests. Some of us are wired that we get our energy from being extroverts, while others are wired through being introverts. Like some of us are, I am so wired to get my energy in community. That, man, if I go to a party or I go to a group or gathering of folks, I'm like, yay, this is great. And I don't want to go. That there are other people that it's like, man, if they got to be around too many people like that, they're like, ugh, I'm exhausted. And they don't get energized. So if I want to be, I know one of the ways that I get spiritually formed is being in community, being in relationships with people, being engaged with a lot of people because I'm an extrovert. So we can, one of the ways that we work on our spiritual formation and that we see how we're spiritually formed is to figure out, like, where do we get our energy? Because if you are an introvert and you are with big crowds too much, then probably the last thing that you want to do because you're so tired is work on your spiritual formation. That you've got to figure out where can you, like, pull back and just spend time alone. So where we get our energy, being an extrovert or introvert, where we take information in, this is another great tool for looking at our spiritual formation. Are you an intuitive kind of person, or are you an sensing kind of person? Do you just like get it in your gut, or do you got to see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, experience? Man, I'm all about experiential stuff. So I love the worship part. I love singing. I love this place where I'm sensing God's movement, where I'm sensing people engaging with God, and that just feeds my soul. We can also look at how we make decisions. Are we a thinking people, or are we a feeling people? When I first came into my relationship with Christ, one of the things that I discovered is, man, I just wanted to know more. And so I'm really high on the thinking. I want to process. I want to read. I want to go through. I want to study. There are other people who grow and are more spiritually formed just by feeling, by being in that touchy-feely. Man, they grow deeper in their relationship with Christ just because they're right there with somebody who's holding and hugging and loving them kind of stuff. I'm like, man, I'm the reader. I'm the academic. I want to study. I want to know more about God. And that helps me grow in my relationship with God. And then Dr. Johnson also talks about in his book that for some people, their spiritual formation is really helped out by determining how you organize your life. Are you kind of a judging person, or are you a perceiving person? In other words, are you an organizing, you like structure, you got your quiet time that you know you're doing from 7 until 7:05, and man, your Bible's right there, and you're taking your notes, and everything's organized? Or are you kind of on the other side, you're just like, God, what do you want to teach me today? That is so good. Because you're an unstructured person. I am not an unstructured person. Now, sometimes you can walk into my office and go, you are not a structured person either. But there are times, maybe some of you are like this, that you're like, you get kind of unstructured, and you're like, okay, I got to stop. Got to put everything away. Then I get to refocus again. Because I know that I've got to have as few distractions as possible to really go deep. Even though I'm wired to be formed in community, I also know that there are times where I've got to get in the cubicle where I don't see anybody else. And I can just spend time right there. So figuring out your personality, how God has uniquely put you together, can help with your spiritual formation. It can help you know how to read the Bible best. It can help you know how to study best. It can help you know how to serve best. It can help you know how to organize your life best so that you can just be in this great relationship with God. So we connect with God by looking at how God has wired us in our personality. We can also connect with God by looking at how we are wired with our preferences. Now, I'm just going to mention this. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about this one. But this is the idea of choosing or favoring or desiring one thing over another. In other words, it's kind of your desired pathway in that relationship with God. Now, before I tell you what these are and we look at them, I just want to, again, emphasize this idea that this is not apart from worship, Bible study, service, giving, what we might call kind of the basics of our faith, of those things that we do as the people of God, in the people of God. But God has really wired each of us uniquely, and that's going to help us to draw closer to God. And in several categories, I'm just going to throw them out to you, and they're in your bulletin. You can read about them and kind of study them a little bit more. But there are some of us who are wired to be naturalists. Do any of you just like grow closer to God by just going on a great walk, going on a hike? And man, you just look around and you're like, man, when Scripture says the heavens declare the glory of God, I see that. You know, when Chuck shared his message, he talked about hunting and he talked about being outside and that was a place where he really connects with God. I do that really well as long as there's not too many bugs. Then I'm like, right? So some of us are connected as we draw near to God just being in nature. Some of us draw near to God by being what was referred to as sensates, that we draw near to God through our senses, through tasting and touching and feeling and experiencing all those things. Some of us draw near to God as traditionalists. My parents would fall into this category, that they really draw close to God through liturgy and ritual and symbol. They're very traditional, even though they go to a kind of a contemporary church. They're very traditional, and that really connects with them. There are times and seasons in my life where this one really connects well too, that there, if I go someplace and I hear a hymn, a hymn that we sang out of our hymn books when I was growing up. I'm just like, I'm right there. One of the things I loved in seminary was we had chapel 3 times a week, and I never missed it, if at all possible. And there were just some of these hymns that we would sing, and when you sing with gusto and sing at the top of your lungs, that you just, man, it just connects you with God. That's why sometimes when we do communion or do other things, we'll follow kind of a liturgy, because I want some of you all to connect back with what that was like for you. There are some of us that connect with God through the aesthetics. We draw near to God through solitude and simplicity. In other words, just get all the distractions out of the way and just draw close to God. When I went to Korea, man, it was incredible to talk to and see some of these people that they have these things called prayer closets. I actually have several friends now who are making places in their homes like prayer closets where they can go and shut the door and there's no distractions and there's solitude and simplicity in there. So some of us really draw close to God with that. Some of us draw closer to God through activism. In other words, you're working towards social change through making a difference in our world, through bringing about change, and that really draws you to God. Some people draw closer to God by being caregivers, that they draw close to God by through caring for and serving others. They're the ones who they can sit with you, and they can pray with you, and they talk with you, or they can just be right there. They're just the very presence of God with you in those such situations and settings. There are people who are referred to as enthusiasts. I think I kind of fall into this one. They draw near to God through celebration and mystery. Do you ever find that you just kind of lose yourself when you're singing? I do. You know, and I'm just, sometimes I close my eyes and I'm just celebrating or I'm just clapping and I'll look around and be like, no one else is clapping. It's okay, because I'm connecting with God in this way, because that's how he's wired me. Because there's no two people that are the same. So how has God wired you with your preference? There are some people who are wired to worship God because they're contemplative. They draw near to God through personal adoration and heartfelt devotion. This is the people who just pray for a long time. This is the people who can just find themselves getting lost in God and can just think and for the longest time they can read something and they can just meditate on it day and night and just process and get connected. And then there are some people, I think I fall into this category, that I connect with God intellectually, that I draw near to God with my mind. It's always been an intriguing thing for me that when I look at higher education, there's this kind of weird thing that seems like the smarter people get, the dumber they get about God. When the reality for me is I feel like the smarter I get, the more I'm drawn towards God. Because I see the intricacies and I see the way God has created things and wired things. I mean, do you ever, like if you have kids, do you ever just like sit back and just like look at your kids? And just think like, wow, how did God do that? I remember when our daughter was born and I'm like, I wanted to see more than the doctor would allow me to see because he was afraid that I would faint. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to faint. Really, I could watch it. It's not a big deal. And he's like, no. I'm like, please let me watch. And he wouldn't. So, but to see our little daughter being born and to think for 9 months, she like was incubating in there and how God was putting all things together. And it started by these two little things that met up. And I mean, doesn't that just blow your mind? When I look at the skies, when I mean, how God just did all that stuff. So a question I have for you is like, how do you really draw close to God? What's your preference? Like, how do you really do that? What I might encourage you to do is to, if you don't know, experiment. Or if you do know, kind of really cultivate that one. To figure out how are ways that you can intentionally and continually connect with God based on how he has wired you, both your personality and with your preference. But I think there's one other way that we approach God. This might even be, for most of us, the most important one. And it's through our priorities. It's our priorities. What gets our time, our talents, and our energy? How much do we prioritize God? Do we have time with God that is written in our calendars in pencil that's easily erased? Do we have time with God that is written in our calendars kind of in ink that you can't erase it, but you can kind of mark through it pretty well or draw a line and move it to another section and, oh, I don't have time today, but I'm going to do that one? Or do you set your time with God kind of in blood? being like, no, that's my time. I'm protecting that time. That's what I'm going to do. How well do we really prioritize our time with God? I know for me, this is one of the biggest growing edges in my life. Because does anybody just get so busy that by the time, like me, that by the time you're done with your day, you're like, well, I didn't really pray today. And I didn't read scripture today. My eyes were like so not on God at all today. And the difficulty with this one and the challenge with this one is that it easily ramps up. That if you miss it today, and then you miss it tomorrow, and then you miss it the next day, all of a sudden you can be like weeks, months, for some people it's years down the line, and they've realized that they forgot about God way back here. Now the gospel, the good news, is that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. He's always right there. He's always waiting for us. And so even though we might walk away from him, he never walks away from us. As a matter of fact, I usually picture God like kind of right on my heels. Like, you ever get that? Like when you're walking with your kids and they keep like stepping on you? I think that's God sometimes in our lives. Just being like, I'm right here. Sometimes God's right ahead of me. And he's like, come on, baby, come on, come on, come on. Sometimes he's right next to me, carrying me, holding me, being right there with me. But again, the question that I have to ask you is, do you prioritize your relationship, your connection with God? Is it a priority? Not just one of, but is it the priority? Is your community worship, is your time in prayer, is your reading the Bible, is your giving, is your serving, is it a priority with you? One of the things Jenny and I do with our kids, every night we pray with our kids. Every single night. There are times where I'm like, all right, good night. I'm like, oh, I forgot to pray. And I go back in. And I'm like, hey, forgot to pray. Sorry, girls, we got to pray. And sometimes, you know, their kids are like, we got to pray because we're going to pray. I'm trying to instill in them that we pray, that we're just people who pray. Go into church. Jenny and the girls aren't here today. We went up to her folks' place at Patoka, and Jenny texted me a picture this morning of them sitting in the pew at this little church out at Patoka that they went to in their little red dresses. And, you know, they're like, because we just want church to be a priority. We want our kids to just know what it's like to be in church, because there's just something about being in that relationship with God. So is it a priority? So God desperately wants to connect with us. He desperately wants to be in a relationship with us because he knows that life is better this side of eternity and next. And so he has uniquely wired us, uniquely gifted us, and we are formed spiritually by our personality, by our preferences, and our priorities. I read this the other day, and I thought I'd share this with you because I think it's so important, and it just really fits with this, especially this 4th of July weekend. I'm like kind of glad that it's raining, because it says that rest is a weapon given to us by God. The enemy hates it because he wants you stressed and occupied. We just need downtime sometimes, don't we? Just downtime so that we can spend time in community, spend time in our relationship with our family, spend time in our relationship with God. So I asked you when we first started, I asked you, where is your relationship with God? How is your connection with God? Is it a 1? Is it a 10? Or is it somewhere in between? And so what I want to know now is, where do you want your connection with God? Where do you want your connection with God? Because I do believe that our connection with God is directly related to the choices we make and the decisions and the time we invest. James 4:8 says that come close to God and God will come close to you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. And so here's what I want to invite you to do. Come close to God. Experience a life with God. Look at how God has uniquely wired you. What are your preferences? What is your personality type? What are your priorities? And how then do you structure life so that you can cultivate that relationship with God in a way that's continual and intentional? I believe that was God saying amen. Amen. Let's pray together. God, thanks for that affirmation that you so desire to have a relationship with us, that you have uniquely wired us and gifted us and created us, that we are each unique, unrepeatable miracles fashioned together by your creating hand, that you desire to connect with us. And in that uniqueness, you wired us with different personalities and different preferences. And so, God, I pray that as we leave this place, maybe just seeing this chart in our heads of where do we want our relationship to be with you, a 1 or a 10, and where is it now, that we will ask ourselves, what do we need to do to move towards the 10? What do we need to do to intentionally and continually prioritize our time with you, recognizing that busyness is one of the great tools of the enemy. But you want us to rest in you, to find completeness in you. So help us to draw close to you, God, because your word promises that if we draw close to you, you will draw close to us. And it's in the midst of that beautiful place that we find life, abundant and everlasting. May it be so, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.